On ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny today from New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny!
TJ, New Orleans.
Mike Ditka, Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Have they got things?
No. Don't boo, vote. Vote. Voting's the best revenge.
Voting's the best revenge? Mike, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not sure he knows. So if he doesn't know, how would I know? I think that we have a system in our country that's been there for a long time that you do elect through the vote, and you choose whoever you choose. It's fine. I don't know what the revenge thing is all about. I'm not smart enough to comprehend that. I'm sorry. But anyway, I don't know why they're revenge on anybody's part.
Well, it might be a Freudian slip there, Mike. I don't know. I mean, what do you revenge? And then Romney came back with, "Vote, don't vote for revenge. Vote for love of country," which sounded more presidential anyway.
Yeah, but. I've said it. I mean, I've never heard stuff come out of anybody's mouth like this guy's mouth that was president. I mean, it's never happened in the history of our country. And, I mean, he just throws anything out there. And the mainstream media really says, Oh, this is Barack Obama, that's fine. Well, it's not fine, because you know the office of the presidency deserves better than that.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is just another example, and it gets old to point it out almost, but had Romney said exactly the same thing.
It would have been destroyed.
Completely destroyed.
Yeah. All right, so. When you look at how things are covered, at this time in Katrina, Bush hated black people. There is still a lot of pain and suffering on the East Coast. We're not getting the same kind of coverage on this one, I don't think. Not that it's Barack Obama's fault. It's just how you cover stuff. It's amazing.
Well, it wasn't George Bush's fault.
No, it wasn't either.
That's
the point. That's right.
And he got a lot of negative press over it.
You're right. I mean, but, you know, it's the way you want to spin it, guys. That's what it is. If you spin it any way you want to. Mainstream media has a pretty good way of spinning it.
All right, I want you guys to listen to this from 2008 and now 2012. Somebody did some pretty good research. The first voice is Barack Obama in 2008. The second voice is Barack Obama on the campaign trail this year. And the words are the same, essentially. Listen to this.
These are the steps that we must take.
There are plenty of steps we can take
right now.
Right now.
To start getting our economy back on track.
To help create jobs and grow this economy.
If we are going to deal with our dependence on foreign oil,
if we're going to end our dependence on foreign oil,
we'll recruit an army of new teachers.
I want to recruit an army of new teachers.
Make college affordable.
Make college more affordable.
Solar and wind and biodiesel.
Solar and wind and biodiesel.
And repair our crumbling roads and bridges.
We've got crumbling roads and bridges.
In a time when so many people are struggling to keep up.
A moment when so many people are still struggling.
Finally meet the challenges that we face as a nation.
As we look ahead to the challenges we face as a nation,
this is our time to put our people back to work.
To put more people back to work.
Tonight, more Americans are out of work.
We still got friends out there, family, who are looking for work.
More of you have lost your homes.
All across America, there are homes that are still underwater.
We all know America's going through tough times right now.
We've gone through some tough times.
We will rise or fall.
We rise and fall.
As one nation.
As one nation.
As one people.
As one people.
It's time to realize that we are in this together, because I believe we're all in it together.
That America is a place where you can make it if you try.
A place where you can make it if you try.
Because I believe in you.
Because I believe in you.
Your hopes.
Your hopes.
Your dreams.
Your dreams.
Knock on some doors for me.
Knock on doors with me.
And make some calls for me.
And make phone calls with me.
If you are willing to work with me.
If you're willing to work even harder in this election.
Then I promise you.
Then I promise you. I promise you change will come.
Wow. I thought it sounded familiar, Johnny.
Well, I mean, Steve, when you've been in theater and you've done plays and you just do your lines. He's just reading his lines. The interesting thing about his lines is they don't fit with what happened in the last 4 years. You know, his
it's hypocrisy, economy, John.
To the tenth degree.
It's absolutely
amazing.
Lying. It's words coming out of a person's mouth that have no substance, no structure, no foundation, no results. So, you know, and I say this anywhere you want to go. He's an orator. you know, greatness has been achieved by people throughout history who were great speakers. Hitler was a great speaker. I mean, he was able to arouse the people. I mean, it went on. Churchill was a great speaker. He was able to arouse the people. There are people who have that knack. He is a great speaker, but there's no substance. There's no foundation. And when you can't, when you're not a leader, you're not a leader in the fact that you lead, then you're a reactor, and you react to everything that goes on around you. So you have an opinion on everything.
When you say no substance, specifically, Steve, when you hear him say, we are one nation, and I've never seen anyone try to divide us more than Barack Obama as the
president.
Absolutely.
John, you hit it right on the button.
When he says, get the economy going, he puts in the stimulus, he puts in a health care plan, he's actually crushing the economy, he stops drilling, he prevents
stop
the
drilling.
Pipeline.
Yeah, you brought the oil thing up. Come on. All you got to do is open up some pipelines, guys. It'll be a lot cheaper.
And he's doing so. This 4 years, the 2012 lines, which do parrot the 2008 lines, don't fit reality.
Yeah.
So I can't understand how the election's close, and apparently it is close, and he's got a good chance. I don't have that great a feeling about this election.
Really?
Myself.
I am cautiously optimistic that Mitt Romney can win. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I can only hope he wins. I think the other guys were not as welcome, period. I mean, I think, again, it's innuendos, it's stories, it's jargon, it's whatever you want to call it. There's no substance to it, guys. I can say anything. I can go back and say, you know, if I coach again in this year, in 4 more years, I'll win a Super Bowl. I mean, and that's what he's doing, basically. I'm going to fix things. He said that 4 years ago. And then he went through 4 years of blaming Bush. Okay, now, do you keep blaming Bush? Do you stop blaming Bush? You say, how many times it was worse than we thought it was? It was worse. Well, listen, you didn't sign on because it was worse than you thought it was. You signed on to fix the problem. Period.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't a whole lot worse than when Ronald Reagan took over from Jimmy Carter, and Reagan had it turned around in 4 years. Headed in the real right direction, and I thought that's a good example of doing the right things, not doing all the wrong things, which is spending more money, going in more into debt. But what I'm worried about, Steve, first of all, you already have incidents like down in Florida. You know, they've had 3 weeks. I disagree with this early voting. I just think there's too it's too exposed to ways to gerrymander the vote. But they're doing it. And yesterday, there's a bunch of people lined up, and I guess it was the end of early voting, and they couldn't get there in 3 weeks. They could still go tomorrow. And now there's just a big deal about stopping people from voting. And all that is, Steve, is if you're going to – let me tell you something. If you're going to enter a contest and you plan to cheat, one of the best things you can do is immediately start blaming the other guy for cheating. You start calling him a cheater, and that's what – I see happening. I think that's one of the strategies. The Republicans won't let us vote. Well, what do you want? What do you want here? And I have a pretty foreboding feeling about it, but maybe Mike, it'll all work out well. I'll tell you what. It's going to be interesting.
It probably doesn't. Then we've got to hope that we can survive 4 more years of this because, John, the point you made earlier, no president in our history has divided this country more along political lines, especially.
Just political, really.
Yeah, they do nothing. I mean, we have no budget. We can't pass anything bipartisan. I mean, it's ridiculous right now. So, I mean, how is this going to change? Who wants to change this? They certainly don't want to change it. He doesn't want to change it. He wants to continue this way. The Republicans are not the enemy of the Democrats, and the Democrats are not the enemy of the Republicans. This has nothing to do with, you know, being the enemy. You know, these are all American people. Should be working for the what's best for the American people.
Well, I just don't find that the Democratic leadership honors the rules, honors the law, even, that we have in this country. They just seem to be bent on getting their agenda. And if they can get it through by hook or by crook, They're just exuberant. They think that counts.
Absolutely.
But a bad deal is a bad deal for everybody. It doesn't work. And when they drive something through, like Harry Reid, he cannot come to terms with how he can pass a budget and politically make it palatable, so he doesn't do it. What are you talking about? He's a Senate majority. What do you mean no budget? That's just not acceptable. And yet he's like, too bad.
7:45, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Any significance in the newspaper endorsements that 11 that were Obama in 08 have gone to Romney and one that was McCain has gone to Obama, 11-1 on that? Does that matter?
Well, I think it has some.
I don't know that people pay any attention to that right now. I think that most people have made up their mind of what they're going to do, who they're going to vote for. And I think a lot of it's come down probably more than anything to economics, jobs. I do think that there is a thing out there where people listen to propaganda and they hear the last thing they hear, they might believe. So it depends.
Yeah, and it looks like the storm had some effect because Rasmussen had Romney up 3 points, and it's 49-49 as of yesterday. We're talking about nationally now. So maybe the storm did help the president stand there with Chris Christie?
I think so. I think it just kind of people backed up a little bit, and maybe the intensity dropped a little bit. But there again, these polls,
really,
Mike,
do?
They're just plus or minus a few points anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, but I didn't think that he had to go to that extreme. I like Chris Christie. I don't think he had to go to that extreme. The government has responsibilities when a disaster comes regardless. I mean, it's just silly that it went to that extent. The other thing is, like, a guy like Colin Powell has the guts or the stupidity to call himself a Republican and come out and make the statement. And his statement's made for one reason. It's only made by race and no other reason. So, I mean, so, you know, you think that he's a great American that people are going to admire for the way he spun his thing around? Come on.
Well, I think the other point, Stephen, we've talked about this before, but if you're pulling for Romney, then there's a silver lining here in all these tight polls, and Obama does lead in several. But the Wisconsin vote for the recall of Scott Walker had the same exact plus one, minus one, dead heat, it's tied. And he won 54 to 46 or something.
Yeah, it was 8 to 10 points.
And it's the same kind of culture that it's this government versus more of a responsible, balanced budget. We can't pay for everything philosophy. The same kind of ideologies clashing in Wisconsin, which is actually a liberal state or has been a Democratic state anyway. And yet that was a case, and it was only 6 months ago. And you might see some surprise. You might see some surprise results. I think Romney could win by a lot. I think it'll be close. I don't see Obama winning by a lot early Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I think it could go on for weeks, too. Mike, they've got all kinds of issues with some of these.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of scenarios that could come down to with the, I hope it doesn't come down to that.
What about my great state of Pennsylvania, Mike Ditka, your home state? Is it possible that Romney could win that state?
Well, you've got to understand the eastern part of the state is all Democratic. The western part is a little more, as you swing toward the middle and the west, a little more independent. You might get a little more Republican there. But don't forget now, Pittsburgh is a steel mill town. It's a coal mining area south of Pittsburgh. So you're talking about unions, you're talking about all the things that helped build the economy through the 40s and 50s. I don't know. I know my parents were Democrats. I know what my mother is now. She's 91. She would not go for that guy. I know that. So, I don't know. But you know, that's the way we were raised.
Yeah.
I think you might see I don't know about Pennsylvania, but you might see a state not looking to turn red while they're focused on Ohio or Virginia.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, you got Wisconsin, you got Iowa, you got Nevada, Colorado. There's some states that
are the ones you got to concentrate on. I mean, I understand Ohio and how important it is, and it's going to be close. It's going to come right down to the end in Ohio.
Yeah, but if we hear a result early, like Michigan all of a sudden, or some shock like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania early, I would say that wouldn't look very good for the president.
Well, Pennsylvania, Steve, just game, set, match. There's
nothing. That would, Pennsylvania, yeah, right, would be,
you're
bad,
done, because that's a 20 electoral vote nobody counted. Ohio has 18. All this talk about Ohio, if you hear Pennsylvania, yeah, going, Romney, just go to bed.
Well, meanwhile, the Democrats say that's fool's gold. There's no way it'll ever.
Right.
Last time was George Herbert Walker Bush in 88 against Dukakis. That's the last time that state went red. Hey, well, you know what? I guess we wait and see. It's going to be hard for me, Mike, and Johnny to sit and just stare at the TV. I'm going to have to do something. I mean, our mom likes to vacuum when there's stress. You know, just vacuum.
I might get the vacuum out.
All right, in our final minutes, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. All right, Bears, Mike. Bears look pretty tough to me.
But when you can score as many ways as the Bears can score, they are tough. I mean, I said it on our show yesterday, I don't think they're getting enough respect. Because when you play defense to the level they're playing defense, and you can play special teams the way they do, the other things have a way of working out. When you can't score points against somebody, it's hard to beat them. So they don't have to score a lot of points to beat you. And we see some of these shootouts in college football.
Man,
but
that's what I like about the Bears, Steve. Because, you know, it's hard to score 35 points every time. But if you don't have to and you can still win, wow, you got something. And the Bears can score 30 or 40 points. They've got it in them.
Oh, I said a couple weeks ago, the reason Houston's good is because they score more and give up less. Well, right now, I would think after this weekend, the Bears have scored more than anybody and have given up probably the least. So it's a reason that makes you a good team. When you can score a point and you don't give up a lot, I don't care how you score them. I don't want to hear all this stuff. Well, they scored six for their offense and six for their special teams and defense. I don't care. I mean, it's a team. That's why they call it T-E-A-M. You play as a team. Now, if my offense can't score that many points, then maybe special teams or defense can. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So they're a really good football team, guys. And they got to be taken more seriously than they're being taken right now. But, you know, you're going to find out a lot. They play Houston this week. They play Green Bay the following week, I believe. You'll find out a lot in the next couple of weeks.
Where's that Houston game?
It's in Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay.
Yeah. And tonight, Johnny will be at the Saints hosting Philadelphia. Michael Vick's still their quarterback. Darren Sproles out. Bummer. What do you think, Johnny?
Well, shoot, Stevie. Mike was saying the secondary for Philly isn't good. That'll help the Saints.
And in the past, John, they've had, in the last four games, they've had two sacks. This is a team that led the National Football League with 50 sacks last year. I mean, whatever's going wrong in Philly, a lot of it's going wrong on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, when I say, I look at it this way, I've never seen a worse defense than the Saints. So I think the Saints could win this game. I think they will win this game.
I don't think Philadelphia can stop them. Yeah, and in the dome, I will say, we're not the worst defense ever in the Superdome. We're probably like fourth worst ever in the Superdome. So we get a little bit better because the noise. Steve, the noise helps.
Fourth worst ever. That's funny. All right. Well,
I'll tell you one thing. I don't know a lot about a lot, but I watched Dallas. These guys trying to play Dallas defense for Dallas. First of all, they couldn't get lined up right. I think that's the first fault. They couldn't get lined up right. They had too many. They had not enough guys on them. Too many. They had guys that didn't know how to cover. They didn't know how to tackle. I mean, the Dallas. Listen, it's a shame. You know, but when people talk about how talented they are, they're lying. They're lying. Their defensive backs are horrible. Stink.
Yeah.
Well, they're talking about our coach Sean Payton going over to Dallas now. Steve.
Yeah, because we don't think that'll happen to you, Mike.
I wouldn't drink that Kool-Aid too fast now, guys. I mean, these are what I call the crap stirrers up here. They stir all the crap, and so, you know, his contract's been voided, so that means he's available. So what?
Yeah.
I mean, so what really? I think it'll come down to what Sean Payton wants to do with his life. And if it doesn't come down to that,
I think he'll want
to
come back.
If he'd rather work for Jones than Benson, that's his choice. But
I think he likes Breeze.
He's pretty much
got a good deal over here if he can get him back over here. But
how about Andrew Luck? Mike, Andrew Luck is the best rookie quarterback I've seen in a long time.
Well, I agree with that. I think we have a tendency to flip a week to week with him and RG3. I thought Tannehill's a good quarterback, too. There's a lot of these kids are so much more advanced than they were 20, 30 years ago. But this guy, Luck, is special. Now, I mean throwing the football, his decision-making, his ability to move around in the pocket. This guy does more than just throw the football.
Amazing. All right, Johnny, finally, last night in New Orleans. Johnny saw Les Miserables, and you said it was outstanding.
It's a great play, and I remember it was in Chicago, Steve.
Yeah.
When we saw it.
Yeah. Love
and,
it. Yeah, that's right.
It's a good musical, Les Mis. That must have been 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
They packed it in down here, and great show, and I'd recommend anyone ever have a chance to see that
I can see Mike Ditka play Jean Valjean. He could do
well,
that role. That'd be a great role for you.
I don't think that would work out.
Hey, guys, we'll leave it there. We will pray for our country, and we'll see what happens tomorrow, Election Day. We'll catch up on Friday. Mike, we'll watch you tonight on ESPN. Johnny, hope it's loud in the dome tonight.
All right, you guys. Thanks, Mike.
Guys.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Stevie.
Thank you so much, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka as Colm Wilkinson. I love this song. Oh, stop it. Let me say it for Mike, who didn't say it. $75 for Friday's show. This guy, Colm Wilkinson, was at Savoy, at the Savoy 16, and nobody knew it. And he got up and sang this in front of 80 people because nobody knew he was coming.
Wow.
That hurt me a lot because I would love to. It's one of those deals. I'm just a fan of this guy. Oh, what a voice. All right. We are about out of time for the hour. Lots more coming up in our next hour. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, again, Mondays and Fridays between 7:30 and 8. And we will be back with them on Friday and discuss, of course, the week's events, including tomorrow, which is Election Day. I think there'll be a huge turnout.